Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I explore the evolution of consciousness and how we, as a planetary civilization, are moving into another level of our being. This is the time of awakening, it seems, 2012. People have waited for a long time for this moment, and the moment has arrived, it seems. And my guest, Anelia Benz, is going to be talking about this evolution of the body, the mind, the spirit, and where we're going, and how we can best unfold ourselves to the next level of consciousness. Hi, Anelia.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
I'm very good. You have such a sweet, gentle voice. It's beautiful. Is this true that you are one of the people that, or one of the beings that have come to help us in this time of our evolution?
Yeah, and it's very much a call from the collective. I'm like a collective constructed being. It's not a service as such. It's just that the collective manifested this being into the planet as well as thousands and even millions of others who came in specifically to do this work.
But you have your own soul's evolution, would you say, or not really?
No, not really. I come in for the job and the job's done and I go back to non-being. There's no evolutionary journey before or after this lifetime. There's no attachment to evolution at all and or existence.
But so you don't have a soul. Well, what I understand is a soul is there something that evolves lifetime after lifetime through the awareness of experience. So you're saying that's not true for you.
Correct, yeah. A soul construct can have other forms. It can come in because when you look at it with regards to an evolutionary journey through time, that's linear time, which is also an illusionary concept or a tool, you could say, a tool to be able to experience in the universe in bite-sized pieces. So I wouldn't have that. No.
So you're a construct. You're really, that is such a strange, interesting idea. did you always know that, or is this something you discovered?
I instinctively knew it, and I knew that all the explanations that people were giving me about where we came from or where I came from or what I was didn't resonate with me. And it wasn't until I educated myself and I found the vocabulary and found little hints of truth in different teachings that I finally put the picture together to realize, to put it into words, to put my knowing into words.
But this is rare. There's not that many constructs. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, there's not many. I can only perceive it around just over 1,000. But yeah, this on the whole planet, I can only perceive like 1,100 and something soul constructs like my one. And the rest are all individuals who have had evolutionary journeys, whether here on the planet or in other planets or in other dimensions.
Right. So we can talk a long time about the specifics of that, but the important thing is why you're here, right?
Right.
And what you're here to do. So, but you were sent, okay, or you came because the source, or whatever we call it, we felt there was this need for assistance at this moment in our history.
Yes, their plan is going through a transitional location in time space that is highly charged with possibility and potential. And Gaia herself wanted to have a different experience, to move into a different dimension or vibration, because all dimensions are really different vibrational awareness experiences, and she wanted to move into a new one or a different vibration, and she called forth help because, of course, the human collective manifests physicality, right? We manifest physicality at every level, and so we have a kind of collaborative relationship with the planet to express herself here on this physicality. And she wants to have a higher vibrational physicality that's more pliable without the light-dark dual experience in it. So that's what the call went out. The majority of the human collective also wants that. The call went out from the collective also. And many species responded around the universe to send starseeds or people beings to incarnate here to facilitate it, to raise the vibrational level so that the shift can happen. And also other beings came in directly from source, were constructed especially for the job, basically.
So this is though a process that has begun thousands of years ago, isn't it true? It's not just
Yeah.
But this is the moment. Would you say this year is that moment of shift and transition, or is it still a process?
It's a process. There are peak times where people really shift, you know, they really feel the vibration accelerating. And the first time I really felt it very, very powerfully was in the 80s. And then again in 97. I felt it again really powerfully 2010. It was a really big shift then. Gaia came online big time. And then last year we had, through the summer solstice, normally these shifts at an energetic level happen on the summer, on the June solstice. And it happened really powerfully then. And this one started, this shift this year began really powerfully to accelerate time and space throughout the month of June. Even we could say even at the end of, May. The month of May has been extremely powerful. And even at the end of March, we could feel the acceleration starting. But through May, it's been tremendous. And then it's coming up to June, and the June solstice is going to be a big shift. It's really going to be powerful.
Well, and this, yes. And this date of the, today when the this is being broadcast, June 5th, is the Venus-Sun alignment. And does that mean anything to you?
I've heard about it. And I believe that one of the things that somebody was saying is does these changes happen because of the Venus or the solar eclipse or whatever? And I think we have to really look at it the other way around. We are creating our physical environment. And when we create in our physical environment, such events as such as this one, for example, is just for us to take note, to be able to have the experience or the hint or knowledge that something special is happening, right? So it's more, I see it the other way around, that we marked time space with this special type of event so that we it's like an alarm going off.
Right, so we can remember to.
Yeah.
So this June 20th is the summer solstice. This is you feel a powerful moment in this.
Yeah, even for the past 3 years, it's been like this on the June solstice. I call it the June solstice because in the southern hemisphere it's the winter solstice.
Right.
It's been extremely powerful energetically speaking, and then it unravels at a physical level for the next 2 months. This is what I've seen happening the past 3 years very powerfully, and it doesn't actually settle down until about January the next year. So it takes a full 6 months to fully be expressed, as it were, in the physical.
So what could we do to prepare for this solstice that's coming up just in a couple of weeks?
I think one of the things that I'm asking people to do is to take time out during the day to take at least 1 hour to do nothing, to do absolutely nothing for 1 hour and just be, just exist. They might get bored. And sometimes when you first start doing this, your mind goes nuts. Mm-hmm. You know, so shopping lists and to-do lists and all sorts, but, you know, say, thank you, mind, you know, go away. But yeah, do nothing and just be for at least an hour, and also take time to daydream. Now, daydreams you can do while you're cooking. Or
I do it all day long.
Shower, yeah. Yes. Daydream. Yes. Take time out to daydream. Mm. And if you can, please meditate for at least 20 minutes per day. If you can, an hour or longer. But if you can't, just even if you do 20 minutes. And if you don't know how to meditate, have the intention and then just educate yourself on how to do it.
So all these practices or moments help sort of reset our mind, tune us into a cosmic flow that's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's basically the moving out of linear time. This is what's happening right now. So we feel linear time accelerating tremendously. And now we can't get anything done during the day because time goes by so quickly that what used to take like an hour when we were young, you know, nowadays it takes 10 minutes, you know, it's like, whoa, time's gone by. I mean, you know, the reverse, it takes you the whole day to do the same activity because time has accelerated. So yeah, this will move you out of linear time and space and helps with the expansion of awareness as well.
So this is the dimensional portal shift that we're moving into as a civilization, one that's not based on time and space. That's what you're saying.
Not linear time. Obviously, linear time. We still have the experience. We can have an experience of universal time, which is not linear. And that's what we're moving into, which is fabulous, really. You can meet and exist in any time space with agreements, right? We agree to have an experience at a certain time, and that's where you have it. And so, yeah, it's basically, a lot of people say, well, they can't see anything past 2012. So no, because there isn't anything past 2012. We move out of linear time, so the linear time doesn't exist after that. We move into universal time.
Wait, so is that what's happening at the end of this year, you're saying? We are, that is the shift in dimensions?
Well, when I look at it, it can happen. We can actually do it very drastically, very quickly and rapidly. But when I have been in guidance mode, I've received the information that Gaia doesn't really want to do that to her bodies. Like, our physical bodies are her babies. They're made out of her material. And basically what she wants is to take about 2 to 3 generations to really shift into the new dimension, dimensional experience, the more empowered experience. However, this is for the people who are totally asleep.
Right.
For us, or people who really want to shift quickly, there is no limit. We can shift as quickly as we want to whatever vibration that we want. And we'll have the experience that we're still living in the same, it'll feel like we're still living in the same planet as those individuals, like relatives or friends who are still asleep. But they will actually not see us as we see ourselves or them. And maybe, you know, we can have experiences like that now. People look at us and they see somebody completely different to who we are.
Exactly. I'm sure that happens to you all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But so people who want this, people who have been on the ascension path or whatever you want to call this tracking of acceleration, and and we know it, we want it, we feel it. This year, this shift in vibratory frequency is what can take our physical bodies to this nonlinear realms.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what can we do for those that want that to have that happen so we are prepared and open and ready for, in a way, the impossible?
Well, process one's fear. That's the best tool that you can use to raise your vibrational level, and not just your own fears, but your physical body fears, right? So process your physical body fears as well as your own fears. And the processing fear exercise that I use is extremely easy to do. Basically, you scan your physical body or your energy body or your soul construct or your mind for a fear. Or if something happens in your daily life and makes you afraid, then look for that. So a lot of people, for example, nowadays are afraid of the financial collapse or a war or whatever, right? Or the radiation, all sorts of things. So find a fear. And then you scan your physical and your energetic bodies and your subtle bodies and find where it's located as a packet of energy. Once you find it, you just look at it and allow it to exist there. You allow it to exist. You welcome it. And you allow it to express and grow and become as big as it can. And then you infuse it with light and love and embrace it back into oneness, which is you.
Mm-hmm. I had that experience without even you hearing about this, but I did have that experience where I went into some fear and paranoia and just from something silly, you know, and it was all in my mind, and I could feel the part of my mind creating this, and I could also feel the other part knowing that it was just a mind construct. So
yeah.
I know what you mean. And it was very deep, and the body was you know, doing whatever it does. And I was just the awareness that the body was reacting to this idea. So that is something I guess we all can do, and that helps get rid of the lower vibrations that keeps us stuck in density. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yes, fear is actually not natural to the human species. Fear was a very mechanical reaction. It's like a little red flag that went up to say, "Oh, look over here, you're in danger. You know, you might lose your body in a minute." Right? And it was hijacked and made into something way more, because it's a very dense, low vibration, it was injected into it. And so, yeah, it's not natural to us. We don't do well. We don't flourish when we're in a state of fear.
Right. So that's just one exercise. I guess it also has to do with all the lower levels of moods that sort of that disturb us, including things like depression or anger, those things. Yeah. So is that the same process basically?
Yeah, definitely. And often you'll find that if you're depressed, for example, you look for the depression inside your fields or your physical body. And eventually it will start shifting, moving, hiding. Sometimes you're allowed to exist and you search for it and you change, see what you changed into. And often when you get to the root of it, it will be a fear, some sort of fear in there.
So all these things, as we process and clear all these elements of the lower self, and is that it? Then the body naturally raises its vibration, or is there something we have to specifically do and focus on that will take? No?
No, I mean, there are forms and ways. There's lots of tools out there that will help you to visualize or to create a different type of energy body. And all those are really good. They're really good tools. But at the end of the day, they're just those. They're tools that you can use. There's nothing that's, there's not one tool that you need. There's hundreds of them, and whatever resonates with the person and feels that the person feels that was going to help them, use, right? I would certainly recommend, if something strongly resonates with you and empowers you, to use it. If something makes you dependent on somebody or something, don't use it.
Right. No, of course. And that's, of course, been the trap of the last age, the age of gurus and all that. Yeah. And that's finished. But so are you saying now the process of ascension is that when we get rid of the lower vibrations, we can change our body to light, or will our bodies just stay physical, or will we have the power of intention to shift that to any level of existence we want?
Well, our bodies basically will always be physical. This is our physical experience that we're shifting. It's our physical experience that we're going to move into another physicality, but it's still a physical experience. And so, yes, basically, the person will go to whatever vibrational experience at a physical level they choose or they can envision.
Mm-hmm. But what will be different? I mean, if we're still in these, describe what the future looks like and is.
What's different is that the physicality becomes more pliable. Synchronistic events happen more rapidly. Manifestation happens much faster. And the person is more aware that their singular construct is just an illusion. They're more aware. Basically, it's just an expansion of awareness. And a more subtle physicality, where pain and suffering and enslavement don't have a part in this new experience. Because to have a slave, you have somebody who's not empowered, and you can't have that in an empowered reality.
Right. And I think the other element that comes online is this collective awareness, how our psychic intuition with each other and the group mind becomes a more of a real thing for our culture.
Right. Yes, yeah.
That's a big part of the collective ascension, I feel, because, and it's already happening on many levels. So then your work particularly is to travel around the country. How do you fit in as a construct for this process?
I try not to travel too much. Traveling is very hard on my physical reality, but I do the work that I do. Basically, I was asked to go public 2 years ago. I didn't understand why at the time, but it was basically to give a human voice or a face to the information of what people could do and what people are able to do and they have the capacity to do in this new paradigm. So they have a choice to go there or not if they don't want to, right?
Right, right. So, yes, you came out as I saw you on the Project Camelot, and you came out and in a way shocked the world by claiming to be this construct, you know.
Right.
Which is very exciting because it's a new concept and people need to hear new things. So, but then you, are you just located in California? Is that mostly it? And
Yeah. At the moment, I'm in California. I was asked to come here a few years ago and I've stayed. I normally follow, I get requests from source to do different things. And sometimes I say yes and sometimes I say no. And I said yes to this one. I've been asked to stay in California for another year and a half. I didn't know originally why, but then I found out basically in California, the planetary energy in California is where if you bring something into California, it will then expand around the planet very quickly. So, for example, yoga is used to do meditation in India for thousands and thousands of years, but it wasn't until a couple of them came over to California that it reached the world, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this could be also a birthplace of alternative medicine, even though alternative medicine is based on technology that's been, you know, really, really known in other places. It expanded throughout the world because it was brought here. It's no coincidence that Hollywood and the major stations have their offices here as well.
Right. They also say that about New York, that, you know, it's...
Yes.
So maybe you'll come to New York to visit.
And, yeah.
I'd love that. That's actually awesome. I want to put on an Ascension conference with people like you and others that are talking about these ideas.
That would be so cool.
So maybe we'll be in touch about that and I'll invite some other people. But I'm also interested in how you receive these messages from the source. Is this something you're talking to every day? How does it come and what are you getting?
The messages come in, it's not from one individual being. It's more like a knowing that comes in from higher self. It feels very much, requests, sometimes from Gaia, sometimes from the human collective, sometimes from the planetary council, sometimes from source. And the request comes in a very humanly understandable way so that I can understand it in this singularity right now. And then I will look at it and decide whether I can do something or not, right? If I feel capable. Well, sometimes it's because I don't want to, right?
Well, how could you not want to if your mission is to be, how could you have a, I'm just kidding, but how can you have a human preference if really what you came here to do is just to serve the collective?
Well, it's not to serve the collective, you see. It's to raise the vibrational level of the planets. A lot of the collective is very unhappy about it.
But how can you say no when you get a request?
Because sometimes I feel that as a human experience, I'm not capable of doing it, for example.
What would you not be capable of doing?
There was an instance, and eventually I did do it, and it does happen a lot that eventually I can, all right, I'll do it. But it was an experience where I was asked to hang out with this very dark being, extremely dark being, and it was ikiyaki, out of human experiential type sense, it was ikiyaki to be in that vibration. And I was going, ew, I don't want to, you know. And I resisted it for quite, I think about, I don't know, about a month, and then it was insisting, and eventually I said, oh, fine, I'll do it, you know.
And then what happened that you did it? Did something shift in a big way then?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It was quite amazing, actually. This is something I spoke about in that interview you mentioned earlier. It was very much a telepathic type or bilocation or remote viewing type thing. And I was sitting with this person, and the one of the things is that to sit with the person. That's all he needed, really, because there was no judgment on him or his energy. And it was just felt like, oh, this is what darkness feels against the skin. You know, it's like it. There was no judgment at all. And that's what was needed. It was just a conduit that was needed to be there with him so that I could then move out of the way and source could come in when he requested it, right?
And lift the darkness to the light.
He was morphed into light. He didn't lift anyway. He actually morphed into light. The most beautiful, amazingly beautiful being that I have ever seen in my entire life.
Wow. So, but you helped because you helped be a facilitator of that light energy in a way.
Right. So, yeah, I'm here to facilitate, to help any way I can. And sometimes there'll be two or three requests that come in and I physically don't have the time or space to do it all.
Nice.
So sometimes I say no because I can't put it in my schedule, right?
Right.
And it's all, I mean, I'm not the only person here. So they have like, they go and ask various people to do the same thing, right? And one of them will take it on and do it.
But aren't we here then to actually do that for the planet itself, for all the darkness and negativity on the planet, is to lift that as a conscious collective?
Yeah, basically, the planet's fine. She's moved on.
She's but the human side. The human
Yeah. The human collective, definitely.
Yeah.
There was the call out, and we're here to facilitate everybody who wanted to move into this new empowered reality to be able to do it, right? To shift them, to wake them up and shift them into the new, oh, right, it's time to wake up. I wanted to do this. I remember now. And give them that possibility, right?
Right.
And there's many, many people who don't want it. So for them, they're not very happy about it.
Well, they just don't want it because they think the illusion of what they have is better than the unknown of what they can become.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
So, but when you talk, because we can all talk to the source, how do you, is it in dreams or do you dream and does it come to you somehow in these altered states or?
Yeah. Sometimes it'll come in, you know, when all different locations, I'll be driving my car or talking to somebody, wham, you know, get a new data input or some request or something or some information comes in. Often though, it will be either before or after my meditation. Or a moment of silence or silent contemplation. And sometimes it will be because I'm curious about something, although curiosity is something very new to me. I would wonder, or somebody will ask me, oh, what do you think about that? You know, and I go, I wonder what I think about that. So I just tap in and see what it is. But yeah, it's there all the time. It's there all the time. It never stops.
So how could other people tap into it, do you think?
Yeah, one of the things is to meditate every single day or to be in silence. Be silent for, like, even if you can do half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the night, more if you can, just be silent. Not speak or read a book or watch TV. Just exist in silence. And then to find out whether you're listening to your ego or to some other entity that's pretending to be source, there is a training that you can do. It's very simple. It's basically to read or to learn to contact your physical body. Your physical body is your greatest tool. And basically teach it to tell you when something resonates 100% correct and when something resonates in dissonance, it doesn't resonate quite right. So you can teach it by saying, for example, you would say, my first name is Alan, or my first given name is Alan, and that resonates completely in your entire body, right? And
I think there's other names that could resonate more, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, was it your given name though?
Yes. I mean,
exactly.
I do know what you mean when something resonates. If there's a sense of elation.
Yeah. It's completely resonant. So my parents gave me the name Alan. That would resonate 100%, right?
Yes, I think so.
So exactly, but you immediately spotted the dissonance there. You said, I'm not sure because I know I have other names, right?
Yes.
So that's exactly what we do. You know, that's exactly what we do. We find something that's factual that And then if it doesn't quite resonate, we change the wording until we get that 100%. So with your name, we say, yeah, it was the names that your parents gave you. And that resonated 100%.
Right.
And the others didn't. And that's exactly how we train ourselves. So we find something, I'm sitting on a chair. And at one level, a physical level, I would have to really put, like, for me, for that to resonate properly, would have to say, my physical body is presently in an illusionary time space, linear time space, where she's sitting on a chair. And that actually resonates. But if I just say I'm sitting on a chair, it does not resonate at all.
Because you, it's not you, but whoever you are is not. Yeah, I get that. So when what you're saying is when we have truth, when we hear truth, when we know truth, there's a physical sensation that lights up the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a feeling of love almost.
Yes. Yeah.
There's an expansion. And so when you meet somebody and you feel that, there's a resonance in the connection that is there for, I think, our evolution.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah, I haven't looked at it that way, but yeah, that sounds like a really good tool. Yeah.
That's what I'm experiencing now, this opening of love, because it comes down to love. And I think all these ascension evolutionary movements are about expanding into love.
Yeah, or being love, because that's our building block. Just being, going back to our natural selves. That's what we're doing.
But I agree. But it's interesting to hear you say that you're not the body. I mean, which is true. None of us really are. But how do you see yourself if you're not the body itself?
Well, I would say I'm not the body. My physical body is an entity in itself. But all of our bodies are entities in themselves. They're elementals. And they have an intelligence. They have a previous track record in evolution and everything. And we are just having a joint experience with them. And when we join with our physical human bodies, we become human. The joining of that soul construct that doesn't need a body to exist with a physical elemental body who's had their own trajectory, when they're joined together on planet Earth as a human being, that makes the human being. That's what creates a human being.
Right.
And so for me, it's exactly the same. But at the same time, when you say, well, who are you? Or what are you? I actually don't exist. You know, it's like that's the most resonant answer I can give, because as far as I'm concerned, this construct in Elia Benz is just a conduit for communicating a certain message, to bring in a certain vibration, and to help raise the vibration level of the planet. But she's irrelevant. She's not important in any way or form. And she's not, she's extremely transient. She dissolves immediately every second. She doesn't, right? So.
But you have emotions. You feel, you love, you, you know, are happy and sad, right? I
mean, yes. I've had to learn to do all those things so that I can communicate. Because at first it was just experiencing without any kind of reaction. And often, even now, we have to be angry now, otherwise they won't understand. Because often when you're speaking, for example, to somebody who's very angry, unless you become angry too, they won't hear you, right?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's like, okay, your body's in pain right now. You've got to be in pain. You have to feel this pain. And that has actually been a bit dangerous, because I was in a situation a couple of years ago where my physical body was in extreme pain. And because I wasn't reacting to it, she nearly died of shock.
Oh.
Right? Because I was looking at her like, oh, how interesting. She's in a lot of pain. And I wasn't, you know, engaging with it, as it were. I wasn't. It's a difference between reacting and responding, I suppose. There's a difference between those two.
Well, I think it's very interesting, and it sounds true. But what about those masters, like in the Hermetic traditions, that were able to infuse their bodies with total spirit and then kind of roll up their reality and raise the body to other frequencies, other dimensional frequencies? So in a sense, their body, mind, and spirit become one.
That's totally possible, and that's what's happening now. This place in the universe where we are going through right now opens up the possibility for everybody on the planet to be able to do that, and not just race, but go low as well. It doesn't have color or judgment. We can go wherever we want.
Do you think there are places that are portals of energy that make this easier? Places like Sedona, Mount Shasta, or is it doesn't matter where we are?
No, definitely there are locations on the planet which are higher vibrational, so these shifts are easier when you're there. Yeah.
What have you found? You want to tell us of a few that you found?
I found quite a few. It's just tiny little pockets, right? So I couldn't really give you one geographical area, but I mean, even walking through a city, sometimes you'll find a spot and you go, whoa, you know, here it is. But most people will be familiar with Sedona and Mount Shasta. They'll be familiar with places in Spain that are high vibrational, and South America as well. This month I'm going to do a retreat down in Vilcabamba, for example, and it's in Vilcabamba because it's one of those locations.
So where is that, Vilcabamba?
That's in Ecuador. It's in Ecuador, South America.
Your body's originally from Ecuador somewhere, or is Chile?
No,
Chile.
Yeah. Several hundred miles away.
Well, it's all South America, but it doesn't. I know. But so these places, these portals where it makes the transition easier, is this where the time-space matrix then overlays into other dimensional frequencies?
Yes. Uh-huh. Awesome. Ooh, the Lake District. You can see fairies and everything there. Oh, my
where?
Goodness.
Where's the lake?
Lake District in England.
The lake did, really?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You have huge pockets there of where the veil is very thin between dimensions.
That's where fairies were photographed years ago, too. Yeah. So there's I come across places, too, in cities and in places I've traveled. Actually, in France, the south of France. There's a book called The Portal by a woman, Patrice Chaplin, who maps these places out.
Awesome.
In the south. Yes, yeah, like I was at Rennes-le-Château, which was another one of these places in France. And so more of this time-space non-linear understanding will become part of the new sciences that are emerging. Can you talk about that as our science and quantum understanding evolves? We're creating new technologies that will assist the shift and the awareness of who we are in these other dimensions.
Yeah, I've heard some information about some of these technologies coming in. I think people, when they can use them or they would be benefited by these technologies, they will find them. Now, with regards to science, quantum physics obviously was the first one that we know of that really started opening up a little bit of what reality really is like. It's a tiny little speck, but it's still better than what you used to be before. And but for example, I was talking to somebody the other day and it's like saying basically biology, for example, and quantum physics haven't realized that they're interchangeable. You need a marriage of the two to be able to understand the physical body, for example.
Oh, because the biology is a quantum reality.
Yeah. The physicality of DNA is multidimensional. So, it's quantum.
So that means then that as we accelerate our frequencies, the DNA that forms our multidimensional bodies can start to be activated, so we start to live in these other realms with consciousness.
Exactly. Yes, you got it.
Okay.
Awesome, well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very exciting. So are you aware of your other bodies, your multidimensional bodies?
Sometimes. One of the things that is really funny about my physical body is that most people, when they look at it, they see something different. So somebody will see someone really dark with, really dark skin, yeah, and kind of looking from, that looks like from India or something. And somebody else will see something completely different. At one point, somebody was looking at me and they saw this really thin, skinny, long fingers alien, right? And basically, those individuals who are more aware and will sit in front of me, and if they stare at me for any amount of time, they will see my body shifting into millions of different people in every second, right? And so there's no shape. It's basically more like a holographic projection. It's not really real.
Well, what do you see when you look at your body?
I see when the physical, yeah, when I look in the mirror, for example, or I look down at my body, it very much depends on the day, because sometimes it's very subtle, you know. And at other times, it's very unusual. But when I was, I can experience it more if I think back when I was very small, right? I would look at my body going, whoa, this is a weird thing. You know, look at these finger things. And it's like, it was literally like that. You know, look, mommy, how odd this thing is. You know, it's like touching my fingers for hours going, ew, how weird is this? So, yeah.
So do you have the sense that you're actually not your body, but you're like wearing your body like a piece of clothing?
No. For this particular construct, it is very much a very human construct. The physical body, the soul construct, it's all very much one experience. It isn't a different experience or a bodysuit or anything like that. It's very much one experience that was created and designed in order to be able to be a conduit for information and vibration.
I see. So then, okay, then let's talk about the ideas of aliens and ETs and all that, and how that fits into the whole picture of ascension and change and transformation and opening up, because I'm sure you've had experiences. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, what we think of as aliens are really our cousins. We're all very much related. And anything we do here affects them. That's why they have an interest in what we're doing here. There's obviously different vibrationally driven species. Some of them very dark, some of them very light. We were looking at vibrationally as colors. And they have different agendas. They have different wishes. Some of them are just here to observe. Some of them are here to help the choice of the planetary council and the Gaia and the collective, the human collective, do the changes that we need to do, but in both ways. And they're just facilitating. There's a species that I'm very fascinated with that I recently had awareness of, which are what we might call architects of physicality. Mm-hmm. And they come in after a decision's made through these shifts, and they will facilitate. They're architects, they're not gods. They're, although some previous or more, some people will think of them as gods, but they're not gods. They're just architects. It's like, okay, you want to build a house, right? Who do you call? You call an architect, and you tell them what you want, and they'll draw up the pictures.
Uh-huh.
And often this architect will also have contacts throughout the industry that can actually build your house. And they will be there supervising that everything's done properly. And this is this species that I have recently become aware of that became extremely powerful, but very, very visible after this the solar eclipse. And basically they're right here for all of us to be able to work with them if we want to create our new collective experience as well as our individual experience.
So how could we work with them if we want to accomplish something or do something? What do you suggest?
Well, there's two ways to work with them. Unconsciously, we're all working with them all the time, right? And consciously, this is I think this is the real question. How can we consciously contact them to say, look, I want to be consciously creating my new experience. And that's exactly what you do. You put out the intention that you want to consciously create your experience rather than unconsciously.
And that's all we have to do? It's that simple?
Yeah. And then be open to receive them. And if you have fear about it, just process your fear.
But do they look a certain way? Do they have a physicality?
The only word that came through, and this has a lot of charge for some people, is draconian, like the
That's
dragon.
Okay.
Yeah, the dragon thing, the dragon energy that has, because it's non-judgmental, it does, they don't care if the reality we want to create is light or dark, gray, or has no color. They don't care. Really don't. They have no judgment. They're architects. That's all they are. But of course, other people have seen them being used to create very dark creations, and they think that they're evil because of it, but they're not.
So that's where all the negative draconian stuff comes in.
Exactly, yeah.
Because we are part reptilian or dragonian. I mean, our reptilian brain has elements of that frequency.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So because of that, we can resonate with those beings because we're probably part of them, or they're part of us in some ways.
Yeah, they're cousins.
So have you met any others? That's very interesting. But have you met others that are around and interact?
Yeah, when I was small, I didn't have, like I said, I had no idea how to function within this planet or communicate with other people at a human level, right? Because just telepathically having conversations with other people would freak them out. So I had
with
to
other
learn,
beings, the non-physical beings.
No, with other people, like humans.
What you would say, you mean, the things that would come out of your mouth would freak them out.
No, would actually, if all of a sudden a person was sitting in a room and would hear my voice in their mind, that would freak them out. Right? So basically, telepathically, knowing, realizing that I was talking to them directly would freak them out. Okay. So I had these little guys, two little beings that looked like children, like 8-year-olds, with their hairs were slightly bigger than a regular human. They were wearing wigs and children's clothes, and they would hang out with me at a physical level. And teach me. Say, okay, so no, don't communicate that way. This is the way they communicate. And you have to open your mouth and speak and say these words. And, you know, and then when there was a point where they tested all three of us, I have two siblings, for intelligence and stuff. And they were telling me what to answer so I wouldn't attract any attention. And things like that, you know, whenever I had a question, they would pop up and answer the question, and they were very, very good. They would also play teddy bears with me in house, you know, like all these things, have tea in the afternoon and everything. And they were alien. They were not human. At one point they said, okay, you won't be able to see us anymore because that would make it extremely hard for you to behave normally as a human child. So, but we'll always be here. We're always going to be here. Whenever you need us, we're going to be here. So no worry about it. I wasn't worried about it. But, one of the funny things that happened then was a few years ago, it was just over 5 years ago. I said, you know what? I'm in my 40s now and this is ridiculous. You're still invisible. Honestly, you know, why don't you just appear to me and we can have a proper conversation like we used to? And they're saying, no, because your body will freak out. And so you're going to be afraid. And I said, no, of course not. You know, it's like my body wasn't afraid when I was a child, you know, and I'd be fine. And they said, no, honestly, you're going to be. I said, no, come on, you know, just do it. And they did. They appeared right in front of me. And my body freaked out. I screamed and ran out. Stop screaming, stop screaming. And my body just wouldn't stop screaming. And she just ran all the way down the stairs and everything. And they were laughing. It's like they laughed so hard.
But couldn't you control your body not to freak out?
No, because it's body issues, it's body fears, right? The physical body, if somebody sneaks up behind you and goes, boo, like the body doesn't like that. The body does not like people popping up behind them. They don't like people materializing out of thin air. Bodies don't like to be or think even that the physical universe is not really there. Physical bodies don't like things that are out of, out of physicality.
But that's where we're moving to Yeah, so how do we prepare our bodies not to freak out? How do you prepare yours?
We process the fear. We process the fear because also that's a program, right? It was injected into the body at some point to not even see, because we often just see what we want to see, we choose to see through our physical body. So yeah, just process that fear and you'll be able to do it again, you know.
So are you going to process your fear to call your friends again?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I want to be there.
Oh, that'd be great. We can take photos.
Yes, because you do feel them with you, don't you?
Yeah. They pop in and out, and they'll probably visit you now.
Okay. What do they look like so I can prepare my body?
Yeah, they look like 8-year-olds.
Little children.
They're very, yeah, they look like little children, but their heads are slightly bigger. And when they appeared this time, they had wigs and clothes as well. It was hilarious. It was just, looking back, of course, it was hilarious. At the time, it was like freaky, but.
Are they boys and a boy and a girl? Or
Yes, it's a boy and a girl, yeah.
Do they look like dolls almost?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get it. Yes. I mean, could dolls actually be one of these beings that just sit in the corner?
No, I don't think so, no.
Because they appear, but.
They look like little children, but with heads slightly bigger, you know? They really look. But they have that kind of porcelain type light that you must have perceived that. I think you must have perceived that kind of, the skin is kind of very shiny type thing, like not quite shiny, not quite, it's not like our skin, right? It's more like porcelain-like. So that, I think that's what you must have felt when you
They do look a little creepy if you
Yeah, they do.
But it's okay. They're nice. They're nice people, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, they're very nice.
So that's one form. And where do they live? Which is it a universal planet or dimension?
I think it's another dimension. I'm pretty sure it's another dimension.
Have you been in the dimension of pure color, the universe where everything is just strips of colored light? And
No, I haven't explored there, no.
That's a beautiful one. Yeah, that's very nice. And the combinations of color create feelings. That's one that I've visited. Every combination, well, colors themselves communicate a feeling, but then the combinations like blue and gold or silver and black, they all have their own essence of emotional transmission.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay, we'll visit that too. But what about then as a planetary civilization, the coming of ETs, of the awareness that these beings are here? Do you think that's what's coming in 2012?
It might take longer than that because it's not going to be, it's going to be a very organic. It's going to be individuals knowing and the knowing and then seeing. You know, more and more people are going to start seeing UFOs, which is the first step. The first contact is the distant UFO.
It's happening everywhere.
Yes, yes. And more people will become conscious of it. It'll start going into the mass media. And eventually people will start individually giving, like on their own experience of, I had a conversation with one of them and, you know, they're not so bad or whatever, or they are bad or whatever, you know, like, depending on who they contacted. But to communicate with them is really very much the vibration where you're at. That's what you're going to, what you can communicate with, right? So if you want to communicate with very high vibrational ETs, then put vibration space by processing your fear and also in bathing yourself in light, love, divine consciousness. And then you will be able to communicate with those beings.
Mm-hmm. What I mean, I think, yeah, I agree with that. But I also think I've had contact with the little grays who take some genetics, and which is not bad. They're needed for their own evolution. But what's your awareness of those little gray beings?
Yeah, they are very much more like workers, and I'm very much thinking that their bodies are not really like they're more constructed, right? They feel like their physical bodies are more like constructed bodies that they can work through rather than what their existence is in a physicality. And yeah, they have an agenda, they have work to do, and if you don't agree with it, you don't have to partake in their work, right?
Right. No, I don't mind being, you know, donating some of my genetics to help evolve an alien civilization. Mm. I mean,
some people do mind. Some people don't, you know. So.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to do that. Why not, you know? But overall, though, I think part of what you're saying is part of our ascension, part of the acceleration is to contact beings that live beyond this time-space dimension and to know that's a reality.
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
But that will take a lot of processing by the mainstream to get rid of the fear that they've encoded, even if they see a stranger, you know, imagine how.
Yes.
So that's part of the prejudice and all the limitations of civilization that have been imposed, but it is changing. And
yeah.
So what's next for you? What do you think, what's your mission, your latest working paper orders to do?
Well, the latest thing that I just have to hang out in California as much as I can for the next couple of years or year and a half. And then also I've been requested forever to start the Global Ascension Center. And so we're going to do that here, but it's not me doing it. I'm not going to offer it like a guru or a savior to the planet. It's going to be a co-creative process that's already begun. There's many, many people who have taken part and are taking part in its creation on the physicality. And that's going to take as long as it takes. I'm not going to hurry it. I'm not going to try and manifest it faster or whatever for the collective. This is going to be a collective exercise of co-creative energy, where the center at a physical level, it's going to start as a field actually, is at a physical level, Gaia's new vibrational dimensional energy, our physical bodies, our soul constructs and source energy will be united in one physical location that anybody can come in into the field as to start with and eventually a center there. And have the experience of it. So then we go, whoa, this is real, right? And then they can walk away and manifest it in their lives and just replicate it everywhere.
So that would be a physical place you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a physical location, yeah.
And will it have certain physical parameters, like built out of sacred geometry or sacred metals?
Possibly. One of the things is that it's not going to be in a power center. It's going to be mostly in a location that's will facilitate it, but it's not already active, so that people will have then the template to be able to replicate it anywhere they are in the world.
Right? Do you have a location picked out at this moment?
We have tons, because looking at location, it's been like going to one of these puppy shelters and all the puppies jump at you saying, pick me, you know? So it's like, ah!
So is this Southern California you're looking?
No, we're looking on Northern California at the moment.
North of San Francisco, up in
yes.
that area?
Yeah, north of San Francisco, yeah.
Because there are some centers there, well, that I've seen. There's the Light Center in Massachusetts, or the Light Field. It's a technology that creates a sort of ascension awareness. And there's Domenhor in Italy. Do you know that place?
No, I've heard of different ones, though.
Oh, you should go
to doing this.
You should go to Italy to Domenhor and
they
dug out a whole mountain and they've wrapped it in copper. And then they've said they've time traveled back to Atlantis there and then done some amazing things. So,
that's great.
It is. So thank you for what you're doing. And I my vision is to hook up all the people, or as many as I can, to who are working in these different avenues of new thought, of ascension, and see what we can create when we connect the dots.
Yes. You're like you said, New York is one that's very similar in energy to California. So if you can, you know, create something there, I'll definitely come.
Okay, then I will work on it. I will. I'd love to. I work a lot with J.J. Hertog. You know his work, Keys of Enoch? Oh, he's a brilliant person. He had a 3 days of ascension with his body, and he wrote about it in the Keys of Enoch.
Wow. You
should look up that book. You might enjoy it. It's very multidimensional. Yeah. Keys of Enoch, Book of Knowledge. It's a big white book.
Okay.
J.J. Hertog, Hurtak. He's been a guest on my show, him and his wife, Desiree, many, many times, and they've are bringing that level of awareness to many, many others. But I think it's great that you're doing it in your style, in that, you know, with such a cute little way that you're doing it.
There's loads of individuals who are doing it in their own way, and it's just about being genuine, being themselves. And in different, we all are touching different members of society, you know, because they resonate with all of us all differently. But it's the same message. It's the same information.
And also there are many people who are just getting information and they may feel isolated and don't know what's happening or keep it as a very private sort of experience, but and they don't realize that it's part of a global project of expansion.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So the more information we put out there for them to find, the better.
Right, because it's not, I mean, it is in a way an individual experience, of course, but it's also a collective experience.
Yes, yes it is.
And so if people are listening and they think that they are strange or have just had some unusual experience, they can know they're part of something huge that's happening to the field of consciousness itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So if people want to reach you or find your website or...
Yeah, it's ascension101.com. Right there, there's tons of information there for people to use. And some tools as well. There's a tools tab there. There's also a course and some talks. And, yeah, it's a contact form if you want to contact as well.
Okay. And I'll make this interview available online on newrealities.com. It's also be listed on bbsradio.com. But is there anything really important that you feel you'd like to leave people with?
Yeah, I always say the same thing. It's like, make sure you have to realize that what others don't want you to know is that you are extremely powerful manifesting being. You are extremely powerful and divine being. And there's a lot of like money spent at the moment and lots of energy spent to stop you seeing that. Mm-hmm. So it takes more energy to stay asleep nowadays than it does to wake up, and you can do it so quickly. Process your fear, detox your physical body, meditate, take time to do nothing, and take time to daydream. Yeah.
Those are great things. Oh, but I'm just interested. You say, so there's really a conscious effort on the part, let's say, the old vibration to keep us in the old vibration.
Oh, absolutely, yes. They're terrified.
They're terrified of their own true essence, though. It's so interesting that so there's a really an awareness on a cosmic level. I'm just curious because it's there's a real awareness on a cosmic level that if people aren't kept in fear, that they'll lose their power.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I see. So that's why we need to overcome and process our fear so they don't have control over us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I get it. It's, and is this governments or are they non-physical beings that want to?
They're both, but also we're not victims because we actually manifest them. They're part of our own manifestation for experiencing light dark, right? As a collective species. It's just that their time's over and, you know, they're going to have to go away now.
That's right. It's time for us to have fun and play.
Yeah, a different experience.
Right. Somebody said, some channel person said, this is your last chance for suffering, you know. So,
yep.
So let's just get on, get it out of the, go, just let's just play and joy and be and be the beings that we always knew we were.
Mm-hmm. Go back to our natural selves. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's like what we said, love. It is that love.
It is love. It's the love vibration.
So you do feel love as a construct, don't you?
It's love vibration. I call it love light. It's the actual building block of this species, the human species.
And not other species, you know?
No, there's others who have other vibrations as their building block.
But love feels so good, you know?
Yeah, it does.
I see. So that's why we're so important, I feel, in the whole cosmos, the whole universe, is because we hold this vibration.
We do hold it, yeah. We are that vibration. That's our building block. That's our natural state. That's why when people have an experience of oneness or enlightenment, they're going to bliss and love, because, and then they haven't got words. And really, saying the word love is just so not descriptive of the actual building block of our species. It's just a little bit of it.
No, but it's only because the word can communicate the feeling of it. So when someone says they love you, it's not the word, it's the energy that person's sending behind the word that's received into the body. And I think that's true of all words, but love is, yeah, you're right. Just saying it doesn't mean as much as the intention of that. So thank you, Anelia, for everything.
Oh, thank you, Alan. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Yeah, this is just what I love doing, talking to people who are moving into this field and are already living there in many ways. So maybe we'll do more. I'll let you know about coming to New York, okay?
Awesome, yeah. And, look forward to that.
And your website is Ascension101?
Yes, ascension101.com.
Okay, and is there going to be a 102 course coming up?
The talks. If you see the recent talks are 102.
Okay, and the next level until we graduate.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one more thing. Anything you feel especially happening on December 21st, 2012 that?
Well, you know, because the human species is such a powerful manifestator, and there's so much energy being spent on what's going to happen in every level for human beings on that date, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy some popcorn and I'm going to watch it happen.
Okay. I mean, yes, that's people are also talking about the birthday of December 22nd. I was just with Barbara Marx Hubbard, and she's saying, yes, let's all celebrate the new birth on December 22nd. But I mean, it's also a construct of a human
It is a human created construct, yeah.
But we can look forward to the solstice coming up in June as a kind of accelerated moment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it for sure. Okay. Thank you. Thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. This is Alan Steinfeld. I was talking to Anelia Benz. And there's a bunch of videos on YouTube of her and her website, ascension101.com. If you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. You can check my website, newrealities.com. And there's lots of other interviews I've done on BBS over the last few years, all very interesting on similar subjects in science, biology, evolution. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time, next week. Good night.
Waking up in the middle of my life, nothing's what it seems. Feel the fire come alive. Feel the fire
in the fire
come alive.
In the fire.
Strange.